On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools, empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, 1150 AM in the Seattle area, and Transformation Talk Radio around the world. Whether you're listening live or perhaps after the fact on ChristineUpchurch.com or one of the dozens of other podcast locations this ends up, I'm so grateful you joined us here today. And we're going to be talking about something that we have never talked about before on the show. And considering it's been, five, 6 years going, that says something, and it's something really important. But before I say anything further about that, I'm going to, make you wait. I want to say hello and good morning to Mr. Benny Mathers, who does his technological magic so that you guys can hear these wonderful conversations. Hi, Benny.
Poof! There. Show's going to run smoothly. We got our guests. Everything's all hunky-dory.
Yes.
And we're prepping for Halloween.
We are. It's the Halloween party at Hubbard Radio today.
Uh-huh. And since we are on live, 1150 KKNW.com, you can see the web. And there is Christine putting on her lovely little witch hat. You're obviously the good witch of whichever direction.
Yes, well.
Because there are no bad witches in your neighborhood.
Right.
You're all about being the good one.
It's about light. It's about light, for
exactly.
Sure. As I think much of witchcraft has been over the years. And I'm not really understanding why or how.
You're not going to leave it on for the whole show?
No, it's just with the headphones on, it just doesn't quite
I thought
sit
it looked
properly.
Great.
Yes.
Anyway,
yes.
So we're ramping up around here. Everyone's wearing their costumes. And I have partially mine on right now.
What is your costume?
I am Larry Culpepper. I know you gave me that look. A lot of people don't know. You've got to do some research. It's a sports icon, I guess, in the college scene.
Uh-huh.
It's with reference to Dr. Pepper. So a few years ago, there was the Dr. Pepper Bowl Games, and he was an image that was brought on by Dr. Pepper for marketing and imaging. And so there's more to it, not just what I'm wearing right now. So I have my other little stuff in the other room. So I'll have to show you later. I do have hair, too, because I'm bald. But, oh, yeah, it's a good thing.
I look because
I've got to step it up. I won last year the costume contest here. For a Halloween. So
that's
I've got to step up my game again.
I think I missed last year. What were you?
I was Cousin Eddie from National Lampoon's.
Oh,
he was the
right.
One. He was relieving his RV on the side of the street. There's a popular
great.
Saying, which I can't say on the air, but I won with that. So everyone's like thinking I need to one up me on that, but I don't know. That one was pretty tough too. So
yeah. Well, so, congratulations last year, and
thank you.
I look forward to seeing the rest of your costume.
Oh, it'll be fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, our guest today is somebody who whose book came across my desk. Now, being in this role on this kind of show, we get lots and lots of books. I get lots of books. Many of them, publicists reach out and say, are you interested? And we say yes. But I tell you, once the publicists have my mailing address, we get lots that we don't request. And this one came across my desk, and I said to Peggy, the associate producer, we have to have this author on the show because this is very powerful and the timing is perfect. And the person I'm talking about is Jalaja Bonheim. Yes, it's going to take me a few times to say that and get it right. And we're going to be talking about the magic of circle work. Jalaja Bonheim is a PhD. She's an inspiring visionary. She's an award-winning author of many books, including Aphrodite's Daughters and The Sacred Ego. Oh, I've got to read that one, too, which won the Nautilus Award for Best Book of 2015. Her latest book is The Magic of Circle Work. She mentors and trains leaders from all walks of life in the art of spiritually-based circle leadership. She's gathered special acclaim for her groundbreaking work in the Middle East. Boy, oh boy, we need some help there, where her circles unite Jewish and Palestinian women. Today, circle work is being practiced in countries ranging from India and Afghanistan to Europe, Kenya, Colombia, and Australia. And she's the founder of the Institute for Circle Work. I'd like to welcome our guest today, Jalaja Bonheim. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Christine. Thanks for having me.
You know, I'm thinking sort of myopically here in the United States. We've had the Me Too movement going on for a year. We have a lot of woundedness getting brought to the surface again for women who've been sexually assaulted or somehow, you know, mistreated from this patriarchal system. And I've been thinking in terms of how on some level, as the negativity arises or gets illuminated and the pain begins to come up, that we as women need to gather together more now than ever before. And I know that you've been doing this circle work for a very long time. What inspired you to do this, and how long ago did you start?
Oh, my goodness. I actually started after I had been studying Indian temple dance in India for several years. And I came to the United States, and I wanted to create something like a temple space. Mm. Now, not specifically an Indian temple space, but I wanted to create a place where we could gather and feel completely safe and where we could share our stories in ways we otherwise might not share them, mm-hmm. but also a place where the body would be included. So right from the start in my circles, there was always dancing and movement and sound and touch and all these healing modalities, which I think for women are very, very important. And, you know, you were just mentioning the healing from sexual abuse, mm-hmm. which has always been a focus. And so I think that for women to have places where they can not only share their stories, but also receive healing. Mm. And that is a piece which, when I look at the Me Too movement, I don't see a lot of people talking about what happens after we've shared our story.
Right.
What do we do then with those wounds? How do we heal them?
And, you know, Jalaja, I've heard from so many people who've felt more agitated. They've had issues sleeping. They've experienced rage that they didn't recognize they had. They don't know what to do with this.
Yeah. And see, the thing about circle work, this particular practice that I teach, is that it is very much about collective transformation.
Mm.
And so when a woman in the circle shares her story, and let's say it could be anything, but let's say it is a story about sexual abuse, We really hold it as a collective wound. It is not just her personal wound. It is a wound that we are collectively facing at this time,
right.
and therefore that needs to be healed by the community, which is a very different way of holding it than, for example, if you go to a psychotherapist.
Right, right.
It's just seen as your personal issue.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, this is not just our personal issue.
This is
a collective issue that every one of us, one way or another, is touched by.
Absolutely. And it's interesting because a year or two ago, I wrote a blog about opening the collective heart, how it's important for us to face and embrace the collective grief, which is huge. And I think that we cannot create the global transformation we need until we start to face and heal the collective wounds.
Yeah, I think that is so true. And I love that you're talking about opening the collective heart, because that, too, is so much the essence of this work, that we begin by opening our hearts. We open our hearts to ourselves, first of all, to one another, to the world. And what I find always, invariably, is that no matter how deep the wounds, no matter how big the grief, as a circle, we can hold it, we can contain it. And in that container, healing begins to happen.
Yeah. This is
never not seen it happen. And as you mentioned, you know, I work in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. I work with Palestinian women. I work in places where the trauma is tremendous.
Uh-huh.
And yet there, too, I find that as women, we have this very natural capacity to hold whatever needs to be held
mm-hmm.
in a space of love.
Right.
And in that space, the healing begins to happen.
So we're going to be going to a quick break, but when we return, I'm going to want you to talk about what it means to create that safety so that there can be trust amongst the women, so that the individuals and the collective can heal. Stay tuned for more with Jalaja Bonheim in just a few moments.
Are you ready to finally feel empowered and knowledgeable in your political stance? Let Marsha Padilla Goad educate you on exactly how important grassroots advocacy is in a relatable way to all perspectives. Tune in to Grassroots Advocacy Radio with Marsha every first Tuesday of the month at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Visit DynamicsInPublicAffairs.com.
Are you ready to shift gears from spiritual seeker to spiritual rock star? Let Nova Whiteman be your aligning force that will help you navigate the ups and downs of this human experience. Tune in to Spiritual Alignment Radio with Nova Whiteman every second Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit NovaWhiteman.com. That's NovaWhiteman.com.
What is holding you back from living the life you are meant to live? Why is it vital to believe in something bigger than yourself? Are you in physical or emotional pain? Tune in monthly to Vibrant Purposeful Living. Awaken the vibrant life within you with Lou Paradise and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Lou's passion is to help everyone experience positive solutions for life. Find out more about Lou with Vibrant Purposeful Living at LouParadise.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, Jalaja, I'm fascinated by this concept of creating the trust and the safety, because I know I've been to a couple of gatherings where it just felt contrived. I never felt like I eased into my sense of safety. What is it that you do to create this healing circle?
Yeah, it's such a big question. You know, I train a lot of circle leaders, and that's always a big, big issue. How do we create a sense of safety? And first of all, I think a circle leader has to be an educator to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the first things I do when I lead a circle is I talk about things. These are things that I mentioned in my earlier books, like tribal conditioning and tribal fear.
Oh, let's talk a little bit about that, because that is so important.
Yeah, it is so important. You know, we come from a species that lived in small, isolated tribes for hundreds of thousands of years.
Yes.
And so very deep, we have this conditioning that says you better fit into your tribe, because if your tribe rejects you, you know, in those times, it was a death sentence.
Right.
So we bring to the circle a lot of this collective fear, as well as a lot of women have had experiences in this lifetime where maybe they were rejected in school, mm-hmm. or rejected by a group. So there's a lot of wounding there.
Right. And I also think that as women have, as we've evolved as women, the gatherers, it was very, very important for us to maintain harmony within the tribe. And so I think that for women, it's actually even more of a threat to be banished.
Yeah, it absolutely is. You know, women have the role of keeping the family together, keeping the community together. And for that, they were supposed to often sacrifice their own passion, which a man usually was not.
Right.
And so in our circles, we talk a lot about this and we pay close attention to, when am I not saying something because I think other people might disapprove? Where am I hiding? And we are really creating a space where each woman can come forward and speak her truth. And she has space. She is not interrupted. There are certain ground rules that ensure that everyone has a voice. And we talk a lot about judgment and how if I start having judgment about someone, I'm the one who's having a problem. Mm-hmm. It's not that she's having a problem. I'm having, because my judgment indicates that something in me is feeling threatened.
Right.
You know, so we work with judgment. We work with conflict. We've had some wonderful conflicts in our circles. You know, conflict is inevitable. It's natural.
Uh-huh.
And we're
and it's terrifying for some of this.
Because,
yes.
Yeah, we haven't had good role models on how to work with it.
Right.
And when that happens, it is such an eye-opener to see that conflict can actually strengthen our communities and our relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't have to be this toxic thing.
Right.
It can actually be a medicine.
So is it possible to have conflict and continue to disagree with somebody, but be able to hold the space to allow them to feel the way they feel?
Absolutely. Yeah, I talk about what I call head thinking and heart thinking. Mm-hmm. So in the circle, we're very much connecting on the level of the heart. And the heart is intended to find connection, to find love, to find unity. Whereas our minds evolved as an analytic tool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I often say the mind is like a sharp knife. And when you're a cook, it's good to have a sharp knife, but you also need that bowl that can bring everything together.
Oh, that's a beautiful analogy.
Yeah, so we can absolutely say the beliefs I hold in my mind are different than the beliefs you hold in your mind.
Uh-huh.
And that in no way prevents us from loving one another.
Mm-hmm. You know, reading your book and talking to you now, one of the things that feels so powerful to me is the acceptance that gets created, that vibration of allowing, which from my perspective is the vibration that allows change to occur.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a hard time holding it for ourselves often.
Yeah.
And we're often bombarded by people who, you know, are judging us in one way or another. But to create that space of love, but also this acceptance of the way we feel or what we're experiencing sounds incredibly profound.
Yeah, and it's so different than, you know, a lot of people come with this kind of self-improvement goal.
Uh-huh.
And the first thing I say to them in the circle is, you're not here to be improved. You know, we're here to accept one another as we are. And then if something within our soul or our psyche wants to change, wants to transform, we will support that transformation, but we don't demand it. It is very countercultural, especially for women, because so much in our culture is telling us that we are not enough, you know, we're not beautiful enough or sexy enough or smart. Right. It goes on and on.
And I think of even this cultural perspective that women need to smile more. I mean, I can't tell you how many times in my life I've had some man saying, you need to smile, you know, like, okay, so does that mean that what I'm feeling and what I'm experiencing isn't okay, that it's more important to keep other people happy, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah. It runs very deep.
It does. It does.
It runs very deep. And, you know, in the circle, one of the things I've learned is I think in this culture, when a girl grows up, when she's, a teenager, she really learns to look for approval to boys and men.
Yes.
But when you look at indigenous cultures, what you see is that women, first of all, need to be supported and initiated and encouraged by other women. And so one of the beautiful things, one of the things I really love about my circles is that there's all ages. There's very young women and there's very old women.
Uh-huh.
And to see these young women really coming into their own and discovering that they are just amazing the way they are. But they need to hear that from other women first.
So it seems to me, at least in our culture, there's a lot of competition, at least like, you know, up through maybe age 50 or so, competition amongst females.
Yes.
Are you saying that in other tribes, like small tribes, that doesn't exist in that way? Or have we somehow done something to create this?
Well, I think, for example, when I work in Palestine, it's very, very strong there. We work a lot with jealousy, backstabbing, competition among women.
Uh-huh.
But that is a very patriarchal society.
Oh,
and I really think that this thing of competition among women is something that is generated by the patriarchy.
Right, that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great way to keep women down.
Uh-huh.
You know, so when you look at pre-patriarchal societies or societies that are really outside of the patriarchy, of which there are not many these days, but there are some, you will find that women support each other
very naturally,
very easily.
That's...
And the women in my circles, when they discover that possibility, it's like this huge breath of relief.
Uh-huh.
You know, oh, I can really have sisters.
Uh-huh.
It's such a relief.
So are there
and
different...
it's such an empowerment.
Are there different types of circles?
Yes, very much so. I mean, these days, a lot of the circles that I'm doing, I'm working with leaders or women that are graduates of the circle work training. But then I also do circles which might be much shorter. They might be short-term circles. There are circles that meet just once for a week, or circles that meet, like one circle that I lead here in my community meets every month.
Uh-huh.
So, yes, there are many different types of circles, and it really all depends on the needs of the people.
So what happens within the context of the circle?
Well, the first thing that would happen if you came to one of my circles would be some kind of practice that would help us transition out of that busy mind state that we usually are in when we arrive,
right,
into a much more quiet, spacious, heart-centered space. And that might involve touch, it might involve music or poetry or meditation. There's always something that we do that helps people sort of step over that threshold into sacred space.
Mm-hmm. So in your book, and you've talked about a little here too, you often involve movement. Why is it important for us as women to connect with our bodies in that way?
Well, you know, maybe I'm a little biased because my background was in classical Indian temple dance.
Uh-huh.
And in that tradition, there was such an awareness of the sacred feminine, the goddess, as an embodied presence within each woman. And I really feel that it is very important for us as women to feel that our bodies are sacred.
Mm.
You know, it's not just that there is spirit within us,
right,
but that our very feminine nature itself is something sacred.
Yeah.
And, you know, before we were talking about the Me Too movement, as I see it, that is so essential, that each woman has a sense of my feminine body is sacred.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I really have the right to set my boundaries as I see fit.
Yes. Oh, so important. We're going to go to another quick break, but stay tuned for more with Jalaja Bonheim.
Calling all ladies. Are you struggling with neck, back, shoulder pain, or postural issues? You actually might have a related bra problem. Talk to Maria Monti at the Healthy Bra Company. She is a professional postural therapist who offers custom fitted, custom altered bras in 2,500 size combinations specific to your body type, shape, size, anatomical features, and breast weight. Call Maria today to find out more at 360-815-3205.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Maine. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmaine.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I am talking today to Jalaja Bonheim. She's the author of numerous books, including her most recent, The Magic of Circle Work, the practice women around the world are using to heal and empower themselves. Now, Jalaja, you talked a little bit about how you try to set the stage within the context of the circle. So what all happens within the circle? How do you facilitate one?
Well, first of all, we always use some kind of talking, speaking object, which makes sure that only the person holding it gets to speak.
Uh-huh.
And so because of that, we have a place where people who are shy or who might not otherwise speak come forward and find their voice.
Mm-hmm.
So that is very important, I think, that every woman has an equal voice. And, you know, spaciousness is one of the very key concepts of circle work.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean? What does spaciousness mean?
Spaciousness, you know, we live in a society where everything is full and where more is seen as better, and where people brag about how busy they are. and yet, you know, what we really yearn for is that sense of inner peace. And when you think about what does that inner peace mean, well, to a large extent, it means a kind of spaciousness in the mind. Oh. It means that the thoughts aren't, you know, clustered in these dense clouds that most of us take for granted. So the slowing down that people experience in the circle is really an important piece of what allows them to connect with what I call their inner authority. You know, you might call it spirit within, you can call it whatever you want, but there is this assumption that the center is not just a place in our circle, the center is a place within you and me. And if we want answers, if we want guidance, it has to come from that place. And so through this sense of creating space, slowing down, you know, after we have an intense discussion or intense emotional process, we might go for a walk in silence. We might go out into nature. There are many practices that help us over and over return to this sense of inner quiet and deep listening. So we're listening very deeply to each other, but we're also listening very deeply within, in a way that a lot of people don't have the support to do that in their daily lives.
And I love the point that you made in the book and that you're talking about right now, creating the quiet time together. Oftentimes, at least in our culture, when we think about being with others, we're talking most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, our culture, we're what I call thought addicted, which means we're also addicted to talking. And so if two people are together and they're not talking, they feel like something is wrong. You know, whereas I think in many indigenous cultures, people spend a lot of time together very quietly, not necessarily talking a lot.
Does that quiet make people nervous or uncomfortable?
It can, but usually the sense of permission is so delicious that people just go, oh, there's like this sigh, finally, I can just, I don't need to do anything. I can just be here. And there's this sense that we're immersed in this, I think of it sometimes like this pool of love. And we're just like people sitting in a hot tub or something, we're just like basking in it and we're soaking it up. And it's just so nurturing.
So within the context of the circle, how do people's issues come up? And maybe you could share an example or two of what transpires that ends up being transformative, both individually and collectively.
Yes. Well, so much comes up, for example, through writing. I do a lot of writing exercises where I might say to women, imagine that your heart has a voice and it wants to speak to you. And you begin to write, I am your heart. And women are often amazed at what their heart says to them. And very often it is demanding some kind of change in their lives. You know, so I've seen women go home and start a whole new career or change their relationships or make really dramatic changes. I've also seen two women come from the circle with this clear guidance that they were to start retreat centers where this kind of work could happen. And they both went and did that. One of them was a Palestinian woman, and actually the very first women's center in the West Bank was the result, the fruit of this practice.
So the
outcome in our life is very practical, very tangible. Sometimes it might just mean that a woman says, I'm really going to take that hour in the morning. Uh-huh. You know, it doesn't always have to be something dramatic. And then the other thing that I would mention is the way that our relationships transform. Of course, the transformation starts in the circle, and is especially clear in the Middle East when I'm working with Jewish and Palestinian women.
Right.
I always remember this Jewish woman who at the end of a weekend looked across the circle at the Arab women, and she said, you know, whenever I heard that call to prayer wafting over from the Muslim villages, my gut would clench in fear. And she said, now I look at your faces and I know when I hear that call to prayer, I'm going to think of you and I'm going to feel nothing but love.
Wow.
You know, so that's just a small example of the way that our feelings about one another change, and that the way then that in daily life we might react to someone who is different from us or who scares us, it all changes.
That sounds like something that's very significant in the Middle East in particular, because there's such animosity. And I mean, just getting Palestinians and Jewish women together in one circle sounds like a huge step. But coming to this place of love by the end of it, wow, that's so powerful.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at the divisions in this country, the racial divisions, the political divisions. We live in such a divisive world. And that's why I think, you know, circles are, the circle symbolizes unity, oneness.
Right.
And it's always been used as a tool for communities to come together and overcome their divisions.
Right.
So I think that today, more than ever, we really need circles.
It's interesting because last weekend I saw a presentation from the author of The Hidden Brain. He's also on NPR. And he was talking about how our biases, they've shown using various experiments, our biases, racial biases, gender biases, they occur on a subconscious level.
Mm-hmm.
And even those people who are, say, you know, their sexual orientation is something beyond heterosexual, you know, and they respond more positively to heterosexual relationships. And it's very, very fascinating to me about how this is happening at the subconscious level. So I'm kind of curious about your perspective of how the circle might interact with and perhaps even transform that subconscious.
I think it can. And I think it goes back to what we talked about before, the embodiment. You know, I think that to transform these very ancient, very deep-seated instinctual response patterns, we have to work with the body. And so when... you know, going back to that example I mentioned of the Jewish woman, when she was sitting facing the Arab woman and she was really feeling love, that was an embodied experience.
Mm.
And her body was learning, it was practicing a new way of being with such a person than she had known before.
Right. So I love this concept of connecting it to the body, the physiology, because I know that people like Dr. Joe Dispenza talk about how our bodies sort of contain the program of our personality, of our beliefs, and how we have the opportunity to reprogram it. So that sounds to me like that's exactly what was being done there.
That's exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're going to take another quick break, but when we return, I'm going to want you to share more of these stories and share with our listeners how they can connect with you and how they can join such circles. Stay tuned for more with Jalaja Bonheim. Have you been seeing numbers like 111 and 222 everywhere you go? Do you feel that the universe may be trying to get your attention, perhaps offering a message of some sort? As it turns out, numerical patterns in certain types of geometry form the very fabric of our reality, from cells under a microscope to the astronomy of our night sky. At Stellar Reflections, we offer special sessions which tap into these patterns, designed specifically to support you on your journey. The 111 and 222 activations are sessions activating new patterns in your energy field, which in turn can help you create new patterns in your life. After just one session with a practitioner, either in person or via distance, clients report gaining greater clarity, becoming more intuitive, and honoring their inner truth as they move forward in their lives. Curious about what these transformational sessions might do for you? Call 425-999-9836 or visit stellarreflections.com. That's stellarreflections.com.
Heaven on Earth, your online school of divinity, building your inner coach as you lay down your foundation in the new earth with you as the authority. Take action now. The number one challenge people face every day is the negative voice in their head. We work each day to turn negatives into positives. It's all a matter of perception. Our challenge at this time is to remain intensely positive and focused, creating the world we wish to live in. Wake up on purpose with Cornelia's daily online positive messages guiding us in the new paradigm. Raise yourself into happiness and inner peace daily. Elevate your personal frequency, free from negativity, and reprogram yourself step by step, shifting your energy patterns with positive repetition, daily building your new earth with someone you trust. All the heavy lifting has been done for you. Wake up happy with CorneliaStephanieVIP.com. Try free for 7 days now.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolved, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. This hour is flying by. Jalaja, I want to make sure that you have an opportunity to share with our listeners how they can connect with you and what events you have coming up.
Yes, well, the best way to connect is just to get on my mailing list. If you go to magicofcirclework.com, you can get on the mailing list, and there's lots of information there about other books and events and so on. The next event coming up is a women's retreat. That's going to be next June. Uh-huh. And the circle work training next September. Now, that is already sold out.
Oh, my goodness. So
these events, I don't do a whole lot of events, and they fill up very quickly. Uh-huh. But once you're on the mailing list, you'll get all the information, especially when I sometimes add new events.
So when you do a circle work event, for those who aren't training to be leaders, but just who want to come and enjoy that, how large is it? How large of a group do you typically work with?
I try to limit it to about 20.
Okay, so that's small and personal. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm very blessed. Where I live on the East Coast, we have one of the most beautiful retreat centers in the United States, and it's on 360 acres of land and so on. So
wow.
It's just paradise just to be there, and that sense of spaciousness, you know, you just look for endless views.
Uh-huh.
And there's also spaciousness in terms of the schedule, that there's time to go on walks or get a massage and so on. So it's a really delicious experience in all ways.
That sounds wonderful.
one of the things that you talk about is that the women who come to these circles, whether they're circles that you do or circles that you know, some of your trained leaders do, that these women are the courageous ones. Why does it take courage?
Well, think about a circle, first of all. If you think of a group of women sitting in a circle, you can see that there's nowhere to hide.
Mm,
you know, if you're right. Sitting behind desks or you're sitting in rows facing a leader, you can hide. In the circle, there's no hiding.
Uh-huh.
And I think that that is true both physically and on the deeper emotional level.
Mm-hmm.
The women who come really have that willingness to show up authentically, you know, to speak their truth. They're not there to look good. And so what happens in these circles, the interactions, the sharings, are so profound and so real and so deep.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's contagious. You know, when you see one woman being so authentic,
uh-huh.
you think to yourself, oh, maybe I could do that too.
Uh-huh.
So women who have never really shared at that level begin to open up and do that. And they discover that the healing that comes out of it is just so beautiful and real. And so the more you do it, the more you crave spaces where it really does feel safe to open up and be real.
That makes sense. So during, I know I've read this in your book, but I want you to share with listeners what can happen within the context of the circle. Let's say that somebody is reliving, say, sexual abuse or whatever, or they're having a moment where their emotions are getting to be really big. And mm-hmm. what happens within the circle?
Well, first of all, they are always in charge. So let's say I might suggest a practice using touch, but if the woman doesn't want to be touched, that's absolutely her right.
Uh-huh.
But often women do want to be touched.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes the women might all place their hands on the body of a woman who is reliving some kind of trauma.
Yeah.
As a way of blessing her and of letting her feel on a very visceral level that she is no longer alone, that she has sisters, that we are with her.
Right.
You know, the body takes these things in at a level that the mind alone just cannot.
Mm-hmm. It brings tears to my eyes just hearing this, and I know there are portions mm-hmm. of your book where it did as well. And the other thing that struck me is it's not just sisterhood in a sense. It's almost like there's mothering energy that can help heal the woundedness of childhood.
Yes. I'm glad you're bringing that up, because that sense of the presence of mothering energy is always very strong
mm-hmm.
in the circle. And I think we live in a world that is desperate for that. You know, for that kind of gentleness, but also that fierceness that a mother has, you
yes.
know, that fierce protectiveness.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How many?
And I will add that just mm-hmm. one, you know, the laying on of is just one example of how we might respond. There are many other ways.
Mm-hmm. So, if we're in the circle and we're observing somebody else, whether they're crying or screaming or whatever, that to me seems so powerful, because it's not only sort of witnessing somebody else's process, but it's giving us permission to feel as we feel.
Yes. Yes. And one of the things I always say to the women is, you're not here to fix anyone.
Mm, yes.
You know, we allow each other to have even our suffering.
Yeah.
We don't try to fix it.
Right.
But we do hold a space where it can really be honored and expressed.
And I think that, you know, there are many people who want to fix other people's problems. And it's a very disempowering thing to do, because it's saying to that person, you can't process this. You can't fix this yourself. There's a huge
right.
difference between trying to fix it for somebody and just accepting and being supportive of their process and their leading the process.
Yeah, and I think it's much harder to witness without trying to fix, because a lot of times we ourselves might feel uncomfortable.
Yes.
You know, and so to be willing to honor that woman so much that you are willing to sit in your own discomfort
mm-hmm.
without demanding that she must change so that I can feel more comfortable.
Right, right, which is what we've had that expectation within our society for many, many centuries probably. And it's ingrained in us. And yeah, that's really beautiful.
So, you know, before I was talking about the collective nature of the circle.
Uh-huh.
And it's very clear in the circle that when something needs to be held, that it's not the individuals holding it. The circle itself is holding it.
And why is that an important distinction in a minute or less?
The circle is, in all spiritual traditions, a symbol of the divine. It's the symbol of something that holds us all, that is beyond our individual capacity to grasp.
Uh-huh.
And so this is where we really call in the spiritual dimension. And without needing to name it, we feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that incredibly beautiful holding that we all participate in, and yet none of us is responsible for it. It is something beyond us. It's just a grace, really.
It's beautiful. All right. In like a minute or less, I want you to share with our listeners, if you have hope for the forward progress, the evolution of our world, and if so, why?
Oh, it's more than hope. I think we have no choice. You know, I think we are creatures who were designed by nature to evolve.
Uh-huh.
And we, whether we like it or not, we are going to evolve. You know, it might look sometimes like the forces that want to hold back our evolution are so strong.
Uh-huh.
But you can't fight with nature in the long run.
Right.
You're not going to win.
Yeah.
So the question to me is more, how much suffering are we going to cause to ourselves and others as we evolve? Are we going to embrace our evolution, in which case we can minimize suffering?
Right.
Or are we going to fight it?
Wow, that's a very profound message. I want to make sure our listeners know again how they can connect with you. Magicofcirclework.com, and your latest book is The Magic of Circle Work. And I'm going to spell your name for people. Jalaja Bonheim, JALAJABONHEIM. And I'm excited to read some of your other books as well. And I'm thrilled that you are doing this, because based on what I've read and what you've talked about today, I feel like you are doing something really important to ease that suffering, to minimize that suffering with our collective evolution. So thank you. And thank you for being here on the show today.
Thank you for having me, Christine.
And I want to thank you for joining us here today. I look forward to talking to you again soon. Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.